feels like Stevie Johnson. All my women throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills. I'm on my Stevie Johnson. I'm about my bills like Stevie Johnson. All my women throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills. I'm on my Stevie Johnson.
Big bills in my duffel, yo. You don't want trouble, bro. Heat in my pocket, heart cold like buffalo. I would just hustle one thing, but I need options. That work about to touch down, call it Steve Johnson. Catch me flying through the field like who want beef? It's 25, but I could get it for the 1-3. Certified fly guy, you on my time. I'm really real and you as real as a sci-fi. I'm trying to bring it home, baby, it's our time. They cheering for me like I'm cross the 1-yard line. And I'm all about my bills like Stevie Johnson.
Black card boys, yes, BCB, we pop.
Get that dough straight across like I'm running streaks. My bills come in hundreds, my women come in threes. This hater ran up on your boy like he was furious. I lifted up my shirt like, why so serious?
I'm about my bills like Stevie Johnson. All my women throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills.
Why So Serious Podcast, Season 3, Episode 8. I'm Mike LaFredo, otherwise Fredo, joined by Where Is Will and Ashley Petty. We're finally, guys, talking about a Bills win over the New England Patriots. Let's just give them a round of applause to start this thing off.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We finally did it.
We finally did it. Praise the Lord. Obviously in epic fashion. I mean, would you honestly expect a game against the Pats to not end in epic fashion? Justin Zimmer plays hero. We're going to hear from some of the guys in just a little bit. Ashley, I want you to start this off, though. This game meant a lot to Bills Mafia, and it's a must-win going into a juggernaut of a schedule with Seattle, Arizona, and the Chargers on deck over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible to watch, you know, this team finally pull it out at the end. And, you know, Tre'Davious White did have his foot in there. So he tripped up Cam a little bit, which also did help Justin Zimmer punch that ball out. So it's always a team effort with these guys. And it's great to see that these practice squad guys week to week are stepping up in place of these injured players to just knock it out of the park. Like Dane a couple weeks ago, I forget his last name. I don't know. I think it's Jackson.
Jackson. Yep.
Yes. I didn't want to say it wrong, so I didn't say it. But he had the interception a couple weeks ago. Now you got Justin Zimmer coming through. I mean, it's nice to see next man up. That's always what the Patriots said, and we're finally emulating that model. And that's why, you know, David finally beat Goliath. It was just so great to see.
And it was a true – speaking of David versus Goliath, I mean, Cam Newton, I mean, the guy went to a Super Bowl. He hasn't won one yet. But Justin Zimmer playing hero – I mean, seriously, talk about David versus Goliath in that role. Will, what did you think of this game? Obviously, you're tight with a lot of the guys that played for the Bills over the years, and finally seeing a team come out on top. I mean, the last time the Bills did it at home was 2011. Stevie was on the team. Don was on the team. Right. I mean, that's the last time they did it at home. I mean, I'll be 28 on Monday, so I was 19 the last time they beat the Bills at home. I was 18 when the Bills were. I mean, that's crazy.
Young buck Fredo.
I mean, it's nuts.
Hey, Ashley, let's not go back to your 18 story. Anyway, listen, you know, we already had a huge laugh about this when Stevie was in town. Listen, you want to know something? It's a bittersweet thing, man. You know, I know most people can't see anything bitter at all about beating the Patriots. That's a wonderful thing. But, you know, like you said, I've been around watching this for a minute. A bunch of my boys played for the squad. You know, ultimately, we all would have loved to have taken down Tom Brady. Like, that's who we really wanted to be. You know, beating New England, beating Belichick is always a beautiful thing any way you can get it. I understand that. And not only that, we're still sitting high at the top of our division, which is all wonderful. But looking back on history, you know, you always want to kind of beat the GOAT. And this is kind of not beating the GOAT. This is beating a beat-up New England team with a quarterback who's not really playing good football right now, with a makeshift team that they're just trying to piece pieces together. So it's a great victory, but I think that we can celebrate it with happiness. At the same time, no, it's not the same as beating the original Patriots, like even from last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I have to agree with Will. I mean, you're missing Julian Edelman. You're missing N'Keal Harry. You're missing Stephon Gilmore. I mean, you're missing a lot of their key players. So it honestly felt like we should have beaten this team no matter what, and they almost got out with a victory. So
well, that's just it, Ashley. Think about that. I mean, yeah, we – you know, we won this game. Clearly, we won it. But we technically almost tricked this game off against a subpar New England team, you know, who hasn't been playing good football at all, who's literally half the caliber of the teams we're about to face starting this coming week. Yeah. So it's nothing to really celebrate. We kind of need to do what we talked about last week, buckle down, figure this defense out quickly within a week, and get this offense really clicking on all cylinders, because, you know, we need to drop 35 points this week to win.
I agree with that statement, and it's possible. I mean, Seattle is, what, the worst? I think the second worst defense in the league right now, which is amazing under Pete Carroll. Yep. I mean, that's an amazing statistic under Pete Carroll, a guy that's had pretty much lights out defenses over the past 5-6 years, and this year it's the second worst in the league. Obviously, the Bills, they're not that much better. They're 23rd compared to the Seahawks, 31. I'm looking for the run game to get going again this week, and it got going this week. John Feliciano, the return of the run game, his first game back on the offensive line this season. Zach Moss, he had a good day as for a rookie, 14 carries, 81 yards, two of the Bills, three touchdowns. I want to, just before we get into the run game, though, I want to step into the Josh Allen discussion. This is a guy we've been praising all year, 300-yard passing games, back and forth. And then this time against the Patriots, a team that's banged up, only throws for 154 and a pick. He did have a touchdown on his feet. But are we worried? Are we worried? Are we sitting here and saying, you know what, he did what he had to do? I read a lot of stuff on social media this week, a lot of stuff from analysts, a lot of articles that – maybe they're not worried, but they're erring on the side of caution right now.
And it's kind of what we had to do the whole time, because you see him come out of the gate, 300 yards, 300 yards, 400 yards, like just crazy slinging the ball. I think the weather, honestly, I know that's a kind of a cop-out, but the weather this week was also not the greatest with the wind. So I think that's why they were sticking to the run game. The run game was working. So they're like, let's just stick with it. Why? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's exactly what I like to say. So, I mean, I'm on the same side as these analysts. I say err on the side of caution, because we're not totally sure, like, is he Jekyll or is he Hyde? Are we going to get 300-yard Josh Allen, or are we going to get 154-yard Josh Allen with an interception? Like, it's a struggle, and we've dealt with it for 3 years now. I'm hoping we see more consistency in the second half of the season so we really know what we've got going.
I think the big thing with Josh is – you know, he started on fire, obviously, early in the season. You know, everybody was reading about his offseason workout regimen. And when he came out, you know, first couple games, he looked like he was walking that walk that he had been talking all summer and what everybody was saying, even during the COVID. I mean, they were just talking about how his workout was, yoga and all kind of stuff. He looked very focused. Not going to lie, watching his eyes in the pocket as of late, he looks worried, like not sure, uncertain. His passes are actually reflecting that. And, you know, his yards literally are cut in half of what they were, you know, in the first couple games. The point is, you don't regress. Like, you need to make progress on this. And you have nothing at all to blame for that, because we've got the same wideouts. We minus Brown a couple weeks, but right now we got the same wideouts. Missing a tight end, but so what? We still have a decent tight end. There's really no excuses to make for Josh. Josh needs to get zoned back in, man. Get focused, because it's game time. Like, all those other games we had, you can look at him as like a preseason type of a deal. You know, it was starting the season. If we skipped the preseason, the boys, you know, missed full contact. Okay, great. We played well during our preseason, which was the official season. But we played well. But now that it really, really counts, we're getting into the meat of our schedule, man. Seahawks, Cardinals, Chargers, 49ers are banged up, but the Steelers are, you know, Broncos. you know, Patriots at home won't be as easy as it was just now. So, you know, we need to really to zoom in and hone in on what we need to perfect on that offense. And that defense needs to definitely plug it up because they got holes everywhere.
Guys, can we talk about Justin Zimmer for a second? And this is a guy who really throughout his entire career, I mean, he was first picked up by the Bills in 2016 as an undrafted guy, bounced around the NFL, the CFL, made the Falcons 53-man roster in 2018. He got cut eventually. Then he does this. I mean, he literally makes the play, honestly, you could argue play of the Bills season right now, knocking that ball away from Cam Newton, giving the Bills the win in a really changing of the guard. You heard it all week. What is this guy's presence in this game and in the end of the game when it counts the most mean for this team? I mean, we're playing right now. You look at the Bills team, it's a team of young bucks. But right. Justin Zimmer is the epitome of that. And he's exploded this week all over social media, national media, and rightfully so.
I mean, I loved seeing, like, his mom tweet. That was super cute. That was amazing. I loved every second of that. Like, that just goes to show that he fits right in with this town and this team. Like, just a down-to-earth dude. Just trying to put his nose to the grindstone and get it done. And that's what he did. You know, he stepped up in place of injured players. And that's what we've needed from this team for years, but we haven't had the depth to be able to do that. And that's typically in the past where we lose those games is because we don't have the depth that these players just lose it. And then it is what it is. We just have to deal with bad football play. But with these guys that they're finding to fill in behind these starters, they're really stepping up and taking ownership of their position and pushing this team forward and getting those wins that would have normally been losses in the past.
You know, my take on Zimmerman is this. He's been bounced around, like you said, Fredo, you know, all over the place. And he's a guy who was in the right place, right time, made a play. You know, I get it. We're going to crown him a hero for us because he beat the GOAT for us. You know, he was really the reason why we won this game. The reality is he is a reason why he was bounced around, I guess is what I'm getting at. And I think he is, you know, a good player as a fill-in, but no, I don't think he's like anything more than what happened, man. He's a guy happened to be in the right place, right time. You know, God bless him. Thank you so much for the play. But at the same time, we need some ball hawks. We need some hitters. We need some people who will literally commit to make that exact same play on every damn down that the ball is snapped. And we are missing that. Everyone agrees with that. I mean, Buffalo – you know, we're starting to add a couple of pieces here and there, but the reality is we all know that we're missing something huge over that middle and somebody who is a legitimate threat to offenses that's really going to make some big plays for us.
And I think so. Go ahead.
All right. I was just going to talk about how, you know, it's also worrisome that they're allowing, you know, 349 yards this game, 161 passing, 188 rushing. They had 10 more yards than we did of total offense. So I think that's extreme cause for worry, just like the point differential. Our opponent's point differential is better than ours. So it's cause for worry. This defense really has not been consistent at all. You get a couple sacks here, a couple sacks here, an interception here and there. Sure, we've had injuries, but so has every other team. So we can't use that as an excuse. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy that this defense can do so well against this Jets team. And then the Patriots come along and it's like, oh my God, this is the team that we always lose to. Maybe it got in their heads. I don't know. You have no fans, though. So it's like, I don't know. There's a whole lot going on there.
Well, I mean, Fredo, did it really get in their heads? I mean, did it – like, even we did so well against the Jets, going back to that, I mean, no. I mean, legitimately, the Jets looked like the Chiefs against us. I mean, they – you know, we actually made the Jets look great with our sloppy defense, you know?
Kind of did.
Our defense has not played well all year. We almost lost the games that we won. And they legitimately fall asleep for half of the game, and then they decide to wake it up at the end just to save our butts.
We never know when they fall asleep, too. They fall asleep at the start. They fall asleep in the third quarter. They fall asleep in the second and the fourth quarter. It's unpredictable.
Right. That's what I mean. So we've got huge lulls in there. Like, so where do you start? Like, what do you think is the main thing you address on that defense? You know, I said before two shows ago, edge rushing. Like, we need to get some pressure on there. And I made jokes 100%. About Ed Oliver. I'll still make those jokes about Oliver because I watched the game this weekend. You know what I see him spinning around in a circle in the middle. That's all I really see.
I don't.
You know, I mean, one of the
lines, what were you doing last week? Playing like a fish?
Yeah, like a walrus.
The sea lion. Around over, you know,
like hopping around. Hey. This week, I actually did see him slap a guy's ass when he was already on the ground. So I know that he's out there, like, somebody else made the play, and he just showed up. Like, yeah, we got him, dog. We got him. You know, that's how we do it. You know,
I think on board.
That's not really what it's supposed to be, man. You Ed Oliver trash-talking all in North Carolina last year in people's face and blah, blah, blah. I'm tired of people talking, man. All these people make all this noise. Put these plays on the field. Like, shut your mouth and make some plays.
I think the big – and that's actually, you hit it right in the head there, Will. And I think the one thing that sticks out to me the most, and I think it sticks out to a lot of Bills fans, is that trade deadline is come and gone now. Trade deadline was yesterday at 4 o'clock. We didn't make any moves. Right. And a lot of people said this win against New England would mean that we were buyers at the deadline. We didn't make one move. A lot of people said, go get Dalvin Tomlinson from the Giants. A lot of people said maybe sign a cornerback, get some depth on the outside. I mean, we didn't make any moves, and now so we're going to go into this home stretch of the season, these last eight games, really without addressing, unless we pick somebody up in free agency, we're not addressing that hole in the middle of the defensive line. Harrison Phillips, did he have a decent game against the Pats? Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
but yeah. He was going up against their quote unquote two-headed horse of Rex Burkhead and James White.
Right.
I mean, you're going to face way better running backs than that down the line. I mean, I'm trying to think of running backs we face here. I mean, you got James Conner with the Steelers. The Niners, God, I mean, they're going to be
where
defeated.
Are they on the depth chart?
Oh, Cardinals. Look at the Cardinals, man. The Cardinals, Murray, the quarterback.
Yep.
I mean, the Cardinals are nasty,
doesn't
too.
Scare me, but Murray does scare me. I mean, James Conner, though, scares me.
Yeah, right.
I will say the Niners scare the shit out of me. I mean, and that's without Jimmy Garoppolo and without George Kittle. I mean, Raheem Mostert, he might run for 200 yards on us.
Yeah, they did, but they've got injuries, man. I think that we can actually compete with the Niners on the level we're at right now and squeak past them. It'll be a squeak. So. It could go either way in the end. But legitimately – like, I was talking to my cousin yesterday about this. So, legitimately, Buffalo looks great on paper. I love it. It's great. Everybody loves it, right? Good for the city. But anyone who watches football who's not, like, the super fan and who looks at the need of what's going on and looks at this schedule says to themselves, okay, if we play like this, we're going to get blown out by half of this schedule towards the end, including the Dolphins, because the Dolphins look spectacular.
Yeah, they do.
You know, so,
Dolphins do look
so,
good.
So we have to play better football. Yeah, the Dolphins look great, man. I was watching the highlights yesterday. Eh? Man, they're slinging that ball all over the place, and the running game is tight. I mean, they are playing good football down there.
I want to point one thing out about the Dolphins, Will, because this is, I think, the thing that scares me the most. They're 4-3. They're two games behind the Bills. Mm-hmm. This is what scares me the most about the Dolphins. Listen to their upcoming schedule. Other than this week, they go to Arizona. I find it fitting how Arizona gets back-to-back games against the AFC East at home. After this game against the Cardinals, I'm just looking at my phone here to reference, they play the Chargers at home, then they travel to Denver, they play the Jets in New Jersey, they play the Bengals at home, they play the Chiefs, that's probably a loss, then they close out the season with the Pats, the Raiders, and us.
That's five wins possibly for the Dolphins right
That's
there.
That's what I said. Easy, I said the Dolphins are either going to finish 8-8, 9-7. Obviously, we already have that sixth win, but we got to do something here. I mean, we cannot take the Dolphins lightly. I mean, yeah, the rest of the division shot. Jets are already out. Jets have been out since week one.
Right.
The Patriots, I mean, this loss pretty much seals their fate for the rest of the way. But the Dolphins got that heavy bulk of the schedule really out of the way early, and they're still somehow 4-3. I mean, we have to play some tough teams coming up. I mean, we still have to face Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's the last undefeated team in the NFL right now. Pittsburgh's looking damn good, and they're probably going to win again this week.
Do we remember? Yeah. Do we did beat them last year, though?
Yeah, but that was about Big Ben. That was about James Conner.
I know they're different, but I'm just saying.
That defense is still good. I mean, that defense, they almost beat us last year, though.
And that was the dunk. Yeah, but look at last year, though. Look at our team last year. Last year, we were all struggling. Like, okay, we've got a quarterback, but nobody to throw it to. Bring in Diggs. You know, Brown is playing. You know, the rookie is playing well. So we actually have weapons this year to compete. The biggest thing against Pittsburgh, the biggest thing is going to be against the Cardinals. The biggest thing that's going to be against the Dolphins is our gaping holes in that defense. And if we don't address the holes in the defense, we will be exploited. You know Russell's going to come in here, drop 35 points, man. I mean, they are. And they're not going to just say, take what we gave them and run us over. I mean, they are going to go to the air and do what they do. I mean, they are playing some phenomenal games with the air attack they have.
And you have to wonder if Brandon Bean was confident in what and how Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds were progressing with their injuries, because we didn't take a linebacker at the trade deadline. I know we didn't take anybody at the trade deadline, but we didn't take a linebacker. And that kind of seemed like we needed to. Between those two being injured and playing through it, and A.J. Klein did not look good at all.
Well, we have Darren Lee. We did pick up Darren Lee.
We did. We still have time to activate him this week, right?
Yeah, we do. I think we have until Friday. So, yeah, we do have Darren Lee. So maybe if they see something in him, maybe they will cut A.J. Klein. I mean, honestly, I still think you keep A.J. Klein. You already
There's somebody better on the streets.
Yeah, but you're wasting money. So you got to wonder if that point is, do they just keep him? Because, I mean, they already paid the guy. Yeah. So you got to wonder if they keep him for that.
I would say just keep him, you know, at this point. He's not the source of our biggest issue right now. You know where the Buffalo Bills screwed up, honestly, legitimately this week? The trade deadline.
Yeah, like, no, 100%.
Like we all just said, I mean, we had players out there that we could have got to add something. We need to pass rush, you know. You know what's sad? I always say that, like, people are wide open over the middle. I actually like our linebacking core. I just don't understand what's happening there. Like, why are we missing so much over that middle?
They're playing a lot of zone, and I hate it because it's not working. We're letting them catch the ball, and then we're going to the man, and that's not what this defense needs to do. They got to play to the man.
They're not making tackles either. They're not wrapping guys up.
No, the missed tackles are horrible.
And I think the funny thing is, going back to that whole Zimmer playing the unsung hero role, Leslie Frazier talked about that tackle after the game and says, I don't teach guys to tackle like that. I don't teach guys to go knock the ball out first and then make the tackle. I teach guys to make the tackle first. So, granted, we won the game because of that, but I find it hysterical how he technically broke the principles of tackling in the Bills organization. And it worked, but it's funny how Frazier came out of the locker room and said that after the game. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, it's the fundamentals of football, man. You got to wrap them up, man, take them down. And on a lot of plays, the Bills forget that. You know, I was talking to another friend of mine. He played here some years back. And he was telling me, he's like, dude, he said, you know, they're missing all the fundamental 101s. You know, wrap them up, take them down. He's like, they're not playing hungry enough out there. He said, if you watch footage, they're all moving fast, but moving to nothing quickly. So they're not really executing where they're moving. You know, they're getting knocked off their blocks too easy. They're not making the right reads. And it's showing. And that's what people know. I'll go back to this again because it was one of the most real statements by a Super Bowl quarterback that you'd ever want to hear, his own analysis, when he said, why risk my receivers? We're going to run these boys over all day because they can't stop us. He audibled out of every single passing play that they sent in to run plays, he said, because he knew that that's what they would give them. And you can't have people coming in here believing that they can just do that to our defense. If they're doing that, and I'm the coach or GM, I'm saying, you know what? I would have listened to Mahomes that day and said, you know what? He's right. I'm going to go to this free agency market and get me at least one run stuffer. Get me somebody that I can put in there for these upcoming challenging games.
I agree. And I think that these challenging games are challenging, and it's going to be telling to see what we can do against Seattle, to see what we can do against Arizona. I'm scared shitless about these next 2 weeks. Yes. These games can either be disasters, or they could be entertaining games that the Bills maybe squeak out in the end. obviously that goes to say every single week, but these games, I mean, the Seattle Seahawks offense, I mean, you saw what DK Metcalf has done this season. You right. saw how that guy chased down
Jesus.
Buda Baker.
Exactly.
I mean, Seattle is a scary team offensively.
Well, we've got Zimmerman, so I'm not worried about that now. You know, as long as we got that guy.
Yeah,
you know,
we got his name right. Zimmerman.
I don't know. It's unsettling because this team likes to play it close. We're always very close in the points. So
we always have.
Makes me nervous. But I also realize that this team does like to play to the level of their opponent. So we just went against two teams that really aren't that great, and we really didn't do that great. You saw against the Rams, who seemed to be a decent team. We played up to them, and we ended up winning. So that's where I get – I wonder. It's like sometimes they play up to where their opponent's at, and sometimes, you know, if they're playing the Jets, they play down to the Jets, but somehow still came out on top. And a lot of that's the fourth quarter stuff, but
– yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I do. Looking at the stat line from this past week, though, it's rough. Funny to me seeing that Cam Newton's QBR was better than Josh Allen's. Obviously, Josh's pick is what sealed the deal there. But, I mean, Cam, the Bills defense, I mean, say what you want about the Bills defense. And I mean, it wasn't terrible. The run game, they still need to learn how to stop the run. They limited Cam. Guy only completed 15 of his 25 passes. I actually was wrong earlier. I said Rex Burkhead and James White. James White only had two carries in this game. It was Rex Burkhead and Damian Harris. Damian Harris, I feel like the Patriots, every single time we play them, and I say this every
they have like seven
single
running backs.
Year. They do. And it's every single year that I say, who the F is this guy? They always have a guy that just comes out of the woodwork that runs all over the Bills, and it's every single year. It's going to happen again in week 15 or week 16 too. I know it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get to the run game though. I want to talk about the bright side here. I mean, we're talking negatively, but I mean, we're just pointing out the things that need to be worked on. But the one
we're
thing
really nitpicking here tonight,
we are.
Have gone but, in on this team.
the one thing that came back this week was the run game. I mean, the return of John Feliciano to the offensive line. Zach Moss, 14 carries, 81 yards, two touchdowns for the rookie on the day. Devin Singletary, his coming out party for 2020. 14 carries, 86 yards. Singletary had a nice day. Before we break this down, I want to get to Deion Dawkins. He talked about John Feliciano's presence on the offensive line. In his return, and it was clearly shown in the return of the Bills' run game. Take a listen.
John Feliciano, he brought back the swagger, the juice, just the killer instinct. John's impact, he came back with the will to want to win, and it gave us the extra push just to have our guy back that we can build off of and establish that run game. It was huge for us. And it's always good to have one of our brothers back.
I mean, yeah, it was clearly good to see him back on the field this week. What did we miss with John Feliciano not on that line? I personally didn't think he was that big of an asset until clearly what I saw on Sunday.
And you see him pop up after Mitch Morse goes down and has to hop over to center. Like, we got really, really lucky that he came back this week, because not only did he step up and help us fix the run game, but he stepped up as center and helped bolster the line down. So, I mean, he's just an asset that this team has clearly been missing, and I'm excited to see how that progresses, especially once Mitch Morse comes back. I mean, I think he did practice today or was doing some stuff. He's in concussion protocol, so he was out there with the team, I think, at least doing some stuff. So we'll see if he makes it to the game Sunday. But, you know, I think he makes a huge impact on this offensive line, and it's for the better.
I think that a lot of times when you look at guys that are on a line like that, if you really like to play with someone and you're comfortable with their moves, they know you, you know them, you guys just gel and you work together as a unit. You take any component out of any line and put someone in there that they're not used to playing with, you're going to get, you know, results that aren't really favorable for a team, and definitely affect your running game because you're not opening holes like you would, you know, with guys who work together all the time.
And you know how you know John Feliciano's healthy? When he plays 100% of the offensive snaps in his return this season. 58 snaps the Bills had on offense. John Feliciano was out there for all of them. And as Ashley said, he played out there at center when Mitch Morse went down. Mitch Morse is going to be out this week. I mean, he's in concussion protocol. Right now, too, another guy to watch for. It's on the defensive side of the ball. Micah Hyde was in a red non-contact jersey today. So,
oh, yes.
That's – do you want to lose your starting safety against the Seahawks pass game?
No.
I don't think I do. And that's worrisome.
We can't afford to lose anything good on our defense, man.
Hey, but it's nice because this bye week's coming up in 3 weeks, so we desperately need that soon. We got lucky that we didn't have to use it for COVID rescheduling. Super lucky.
Yeah, we are lucky. We are lucky. The Titans didn't screw us over in that regard. They screwed us over in every other regard. But
now they're playing how many straight weeks of football with no bye weeks? So,
and I think
they
Titans
shot themselves in the foot a little bit too.
And look what the Titans did against the Bengals. Joey Burrow. I mean,
shocked.
The Bengals. I'm going to say this right now. I know we're hyper Bills here, but the Bengals are going to finish the season strong. Joe Burrow every single week is getting better and better on that football field, and you could see it. And he look what they did this past week against Tennessee. I mean, Joe Burrow is going to be, I think, personally, the real deal in the NFL. It's going to be exciting to see him develop over the next year or two. Sticking with the run game, Zach Moss, he had a great day. As I mentioned, 14 carries, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's really having a good rookie season. This is a guy that a lot of guys, when he was drafted this year in the third round, was like, wow, yes, this is amazing. How do we get him in the third round? He's proving his worth on this Bills roster. After the game, he got to talk a little bit about the run game and how it's quote-unquote returning. Take a listen.
Yeah, you know, definitely the weather is going to be getting a lot different than it was early in the year. So the run game is really, really important right now to grind these games out late into the season and get these dirty wins. So, like I said, this is a good game, right, for us to really show on tape that we can do it consistently, not one quarter here, two quarters there, but all 4 quarters. So we're just going to get back to the tape and continue to put our heads down, like I said, and just continue to build on our offense.
And that's no truer words have been said, especially with the weather. You got three home games after this one. The weather's looking pretty good this Sunday. I think it actually might be 60.
It is. It'd be like 65.
Which is insane.
Gotta love that Buffalo summer November weather.
Right, yeah,
that's
right.
Gonna be nice. But you got that Chargers game November 29th. Bad weather, probably. Possibly. Pittsburgh December 13th. Bad weather, potentially. Sure. Miami January 3rd. Most definitely. And that, who knows what happens down the stretch here? That game could be for the division.
I mean, it could be. And I'll tell you what, we would like to think that it played to our advantage, you know, if that's the case, you know,
100%
with the Dolphins. You know, yeah, looking at this schedule coming up, man, that's the biggest thing. And that's why, you know, and for anybody listening and watching, it's not like we just all trash the Bills and talk about all these negative things. They have done a lot of wonderful things. The thing is, you just want to look at what they need to do to compete at that next level. And that's why we point out the negatives, because every time we see an opportunity where we could improve, we don't really make the move we need to make to improve that one small position. You know, it's just look at Tampa down there. Now, Brady and them are tearing it up. Brady's on fire as we expected, right? They go out and get Antonio Brown. Now, they had wideouts and they were balling, you know, with what they had. But now they added one more thing just to give them that extra thing they need. And that's the attitude that Buffalo needs to have. Because we can't – well, now we're going to have to play what we have, but you just can't go on into it with the mindset that, hey, we were great last year, we're going to be great this year, we're not going to add anything, let it ride with what it is. Yeah, I know we did offense, but I'm talking that defense. Like, once we saw that we were missing something, the deadline was the goal at that point. It should have been the mission. They should have definitely had their eyes on some prizes and made some adjustments for the upcoming season. You know, we got the second half of the season is brutal, no matter how you look at it.
And it's frustrating to see, like, either side of the ball be so inconsistent from week to week. Like, 1 week we're talking about how bad the defense is. Then the next week we're talking about the run game. Where's the run game? The next week, oh, today, this week, where was the pass game? Who knows? Stephon Diggs only had 92 yards on 6 receptions. So, like, week to week, we can't just have one game where everything fires on all cylinders and we're just blowing the other team out. That hasn't happened yet, and it would be nice to see.
Right. I agree. And I don't think it's going to happen this week. I don't think we're going to.
Definitely not this week or the next week after that.
But honestly, looking at the schedule, the only game, honestly, of quote-unquote blowout potential, well, there's two.
Denver,
yeah, but Denver's defense is still
They've been okay lately.
Denver's defense is tough.
I don't see any games, really, but if you had to pick one because of their injury troubles right now, I'd say San Francisco. But yeah, then again, that's if we could stop Raheem Mostert. That's if we could stop that San Francisco running game. Because you know it's all they're going to do if Nick Mullins is their starting quarterback. They're just going to run it down our throat like every other team has this year.
Right, right, exactly. And when you go down this list, you can kind of go down the list and see that that's what most of these teams' game plan is going to be. That's why I say that the Bills have to definitely buck up that defense because I like to believe this. I like to believe, like last year, I loved the feeling of being able to say, I don't care what offense you put in front of us, whether it was Kansas City, Russell, you know, Seattle, whoever it was, we can stop anybody, but we just couldn't score. See, last year, that was the truth. I mean, we could stop damn near anybody, but we couldn't put up enough points to win the games ever. Now, we can't freaking get the whole combination going well. Now, our defense is lackluster. We got the weapons on offense, and we might score some games. And next game, we'll just lay off and barely win the game, possibly, you know. It's no consistency, yeah. Like Ashley said.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at, speaking of trying to bulk up the line or doing something, I mean, you either need Harrison Phillips to start playing the way that we expect him to, or you look into the free agent pool. I mean, it's the only way you're going to be able to sign a guy right now, or unless you move somebody up from your practice squad, which, I mean, there's nobody of note that sticks out to me on the practice squad. But
nothing.
Free agents, the only two free agents that really – ring a bell to me that would maybe be able to make a difference. Cameron Wake, Dontari Poe. Ashley mentioned this a few weeks ago. Marcel Darius.
Yeah, Darius.
Yeah.
The former Bill. I mean,
why not kick the tires? You know.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
I mean, Timmy Jernigan. He's another guy. He had a decent career. I mean, but we're really kind of there's not a lot of defensemen, especially defensive linemen. On the top 50, according to Pro Football Focus. I mean, I know Pro Football Focus is Pro Football Focus, but I mean,
we're not the biggest fan of them, but
we're not. But I mean, I feel like their top 50 free agents would be somewhat accurate. And there's not a lot, there's a lot of secondary guys available, a lot, even a couple,
you know, or what about this? Because we haven't made a lot of tremendous changes at players, right? So, what if they just soften that zone up? Like, the zone that they're running, I think, is what gets them in big trouble over the middle.
Yep.
So if they stop, like I watched this past week, Edmonds dropping way back, man. As soon as the ball snapped, he's back 20 yards, you know, which, and you know what happened, that play right over the middle, easy 15-yard pickup. He has to come up and make a tackle. Mm-hmm. If you're playing back too far like that, that is what allows teams to eat over the middle and run through your line that you don't have, your non-existent line that you have. So I would say maybe make some adjustments with what we have. If we can possibly pick up something free agency, that's great. But I'll tell you right now, I haven't heard any buzz about anything like that, like them even addressing anything on that line. Like, I heard all cornerback, you know, looking at safety position, you know, secondary type of situations. But, yeah, that would be what I would say, just maybe change the way that you run in this defense.
You got to wonder, too, and this is one – and you got to wonder – I know we always kind of knock on Ed Oliver, especially Will, but
– come on, man. I'm just saying, I don't really – you know, I mean, well, it's out there, man. Ashley, you know how you do it.
This is from Bubba C's, like, how much longer is on Ed Oliver's contract. Bubba's a – avid follower of ours, looking at Sport Track, Ed Oliver has 1 year. I mean, next year is his last year without the fifth year option. He could choose to stay here until 2023. But he's only making right now this year, he's only making $1.3 million.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
His contract, he's not making a lot. I mean, he's making his cap hit this year is five.
Oh, okay.
$5 million.
That's four, a little more.
Four, well, a little less than five. It's a little less than
a
five.
A tiny bit more.
Yeah.
Damn.
Just a little bit less than five. Just a little bit. Just some peanuts.
Well, I was confused because it says cap hit 4.5 and then it says yearly cash 1.3. So I don't know what that means. But anyway.
It's structured that way. Yeah. Listen, the thing is this. No matter what he's making, whether it's the 1.5 or 17 million, I don't care what it is. The point is, you're on the field, you're putting on your pads, man. We don't need to see a ballerina spinning around in the middle of a line. We need to see somebody hitting somebody, plugging some holes, and getting to some quarterbacks.
Well, the only reason I brought that up, though, is just because next year is this year and next year is it for him to prove himself, or he'll end up in that free agency pool that I just talked about.
I'm totally with it because I'm not seeing much from him right now. And if you look at all of his stats as far as tackles and stuff for this year, mm-hmm. it all reflects the fact that he's not really putting up the numbers for the money that he's making and the name that he has. The expectations, he's not playing up to the build right now. Agreed. And that's in one on, that's not even a lot of double team situations. Watch the tape. It's one-on-ones. You know, good linemen, he's having a hard time with good linemen, decent linemen, and some bad linemen. He just can't get around them, and he's not making the plays.
All right, let's get to this Bills Seahawks game on Sunday. We did enough shit talking this week. We won this game on Sunday, so let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, and I did want to bring up like one little point. This is the first time the Bills have been 4-0 in the division against divisional opponents. 1991.
Yep. That's big.
Just wanted to throw that little tidbit out there because I thought that was interesting. Fredo and I were not born yet. So,
Will was already.
Like, don't make me have camera trouble over here and phone trouble.
Will, you were like what, 45 and 91.
Got it. There goes Will.
Will, you were like what, 45 and 91.
Where's Will?
We're gonna lose Will again. Here we go.
Right.
Oh, jeez. But no, it's. I mean, hey, you locked in four. You locked in four wins in the division. You're probably gonna beat the Jets again. Call it five. So that last game, I mean, you can go 6-0 in the division. If you go 6-0 in the division, you should win your division. and you damn sure hope so. I mean, if you get two more divisional wins, if you get those two more divisional wins, that puts you at eight.
Right.
So, and you already have, I think, two or three. You beat the Rams, you beat the Raiders. You already have two non-divisional wins. That puts you at 10. Well,
and that's why, like, if you lose this game this week against Seattle, it's not as large, looming as large, but, you know, you got to look at it too. Like, Seattle's likely to be the Super Bowl contender for the NFC. So,
yeah.
And Russell Wilson is very clearly an MVP candidate, probably going to win it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I'm not worried about these two games.
A giant in the NFL right now. I had this loss at the beginning of the year, even before seeing what they've done so far this season. I had it as a loss. I don't know about you guys, but
because you know the caliber of the team.
I am not worried about this game. I'm not worried about Seattle. I'm not worried about Arizona because, quite frankly, Seattle and Arizona, they do not matter. You look at playoffs in the AFC. What do they look at in the AFC? They look at AFC record. They don't look at what you did against the NFC. They never do. I remember last year we were looking at scenarios of or in 2017. It was 2017 when we made the playoffs. What was everything that was getting looked at when it was coming down the stretch with all the tiebreakers that were in play? It was the AFC conference record. These two games don't matter. Would they be nice to win one of them? Absolutely. Would it be nice to win both? Hell yeah. They don't matter in the thick of things. What matters is the Chargers game, the Steelers game, the Broncos game, the Patriots game, and the Dolphins game.
They don't matter when you look at it statistically as far as your record and as far as, you know, what team's looking when you get into playoffs. Where they matter, man, is they matter because you want to see how well you could put what you really need to work on when you do make – we are going to make the playoffs. But when you do get there, you don't want to get bounced right out. So you want to hone your skills against a team like the Seahawks. I predicted we'd lose against them early in the season as soon as I saw the schedule. But I want to compete. I want to lose by a touchdown. You know, I don't want to lose 42-7. You know, like you. So my point is, you want to get use these teams, the ones that don't matter, as a hell of a practice run for the tough playoff games that we're going to have, and the later games we're going to have, the Steelers game, the Dolphins game. You just want to practice now.
I agree. Let's get to the Seattle game, though, before we run out of time here this week. Ashley, I'm going to let you start with your three keys to the game and a final score prediction.
All right. So, number one, and I have to show off my 26 shirts because, that's our sponsor. So, we have the Allen Diggs 20, perfect for the election right now. Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about the election, though. So, these are my three keys.
We're still, who the hell knows who's going to be running this country?
We don't know.
Shout out Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Nevada. That's all I'm going to say.
Why so serious?
For real. My number one key was don't let Seattle set the tempo. Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf are going to come out here swinging. They're going to try to set that quick tempo, get this defense tired out really quickly. And that's what a lot of teams we've seen have done to us throughout this season. Don't let them set the tempo. Two, we talked about this a little earlier. Defense, back to basics. Tackle, wrap your man up. Get these guys down at first contact. Don't let the third guy tackle him. Don't let the fourth guy tackle. The first guy, get his hands around him, tackle, done, period. Mm-hmm. Three, find your balance between the pass and the rush offenses, because one week it's the pass game, next week it's the run game, next week is pass, next week's run. No. You got to have a little bit of run, a little bit of pass. Find the run game because that set up the passing game, period.
Will. Oh, and Ashley, final score.
28-27, Seattle.
Wow.
I always predict the Bills win, but I don't think they've got it this week.
I mean, Ashley.
I'm sorry. We work better as an underdog. That's why I said it.
That's literally a Swami prediction right there. It's like ESPN.
I'm putting them as an underdog on purpose.
Okay.
Will, you go.
All right. I think that my first key to beat Seattle would be definitely containment. Get some heat on Russell Wilson. Be aware of the fact that he is a hell of a scrambler and can get out of dodge. Man, the boy's got wheels, so he can run. It sounds like deja vu, but we've been lacking this. So pass rush. I say pass rush. That's going to be my first key. Second thing I would say is to definitely be consistent in your offense. They don't have a great defense. People put up points against this team, so they leave a lot of stones unturned. So we will be able to use our speed on the outside, hit those wide outs, utilize that middle. So Josh needs to balance that offense. Hopefully they call plays where we mix it up really well with the run game and with the pass. But I strongly feel that we can pass against that defense. If we can eat well over the middle, not go for the big plays all the time, I think that we can get down the field on these boys. And my last key, which is probably one of my biggest one, is find a way. And this is a huge thing, man. Figure out a way to contain those wideouts, man, because, Metcalf's been killing people every week. Russell, I don't care where he throws the ball, the boy goes up and gets it. We just have to play a really strong secondary game this weekend. With High being out, I think that that's going to be a big problem. I think that if we can get the pass rush on, maybe we can eliminate a lot of those deep balls that Russell's going to try to throw. So, pass rush, distribute the ball well on that offense, and definitely focus really well on that secondary as far as containing the wideouts coming out of the backfield.
Will, final score.
Seattle's dropping 35 this week for sure. So I would say 35-27.
You're going to be the only one to pick the Bills. I always pick the Bills. Will says 35-27. There it is. All right, time for my three keys to the game, brought to you by 26 Shirts. I think, one, the run game has to stick. You did something right this week. You compile over almost 200 yards on the ground. That hasn't happened all season. You need to keep the run game going, and Josh Allen can't have 10 of your carries. He can't. Not in a game like this. You need to have Josh Allen with the ball in his hands. but you also need Josh Allen to have the ball in his hands and not running the football, especially against the Seattle defense that is 31st in the league. This team is really good, Seattle. Really, really good. Russell Wilson just last week alone against San Francisco, against a really good San Francisco defense, might I add, that we're playing in a few weeks, threw for 261 and 4 touchdowns. No picks. This Bills defense has their work cut out for them this week. It starts on the outside with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. You need to limit Russell in any potential opportunities that you can. Russell Wilson is a threat. Russell Wilson, we've all said it, is a potential MVP candidate. I don't know if you double-team Metcalf on the outside and leave Lockett open, but then you have Lockett, who – I'm not mad about this. He gave me 62 fantasy points 2 weeks ago.
hey, Fredo, you killing yourself in our fantasy league,
yeah,
too.
that was a different fantasy league. I'm already out of this one.
By the way, like, you all the way down. I'm like, is this dude even here?
I try, man.
I made it to 4-4. I'm pumped. So
I am 1-7. But no, you got to stop. you have to. stop Russell Wilson in some regard. I personally think you double DK Metcalf, but then again, you're leaving Tyler Lockett as an easy target on the outside there. Three, you really, if I'm the Bills this week, you build off your success. And you won two straight, call it what you want, who you beat. You beat the Jets and the Patriots. Those are two divisional wins. You gave yourself a 4-0 record in the division. Build off your success at 6-2. Try to do something this week to get to your third straight win for the second time this year. I think if you silence people that are saying the Bills have no shot, I think if you block out people that are not giving us a chance whatsoever, I think there might be a vibe going in that locker room right now that says, you know what, maybe we can do this. And that's why I'm going to pick the Bills this week. I think I've picked the Bills every week since I was 11. But I'm going to say the Bills win this week. And I agree with Will. You got to put up 30 points. Seattle's going to score two. Right. But I'm going to see – I think it's going to be a similar game to that Rams game. Bills win 33-28. Seattle's got a shot in the end. But I think the Bills are going to hold on. I think the Bills' defense this week is going to maybe have a successful game. It's going to start on the outside, though. Can Trey White stop DK Metcalf? I know Trey White's arguably
the top.
That's
exactly what I said.
And that's what it's going to come down to. Trey White's one of the best
corners
in the NFL. But
yeah,
can he stop DK Metcalf? That's my question. And when DK Metcalf got drafted last year, nobody saw this coming with him.
I wanted him for the Bills.
I wanted him too.
I would have loved Metcalf to come to the Bills.
Especially where they got him.
And you know what, Fredo? One of your that last key, like stopping Metcalf, like that is so critical. But that goes back to when I was saying about the pass rush and, you know, containment. You know, if you put that heat on Wilson, he won't have time to get down and make those big plays.
Agreed. Yeah. It's tough. I mean, this week will be, like I said, you don't need this game. You really don't. You could afford to lose this one. Would it be great to win it? Absolutely. But when you look at the thick of things, when I look at the schedule overall, I think – maybe winning back-to-back against the Chargers and the Niners, because you have a real shot against the Niners. I would rather lose this week and then win later on down the stretch. But like I said, this game's not needed. It'd be nice to win. But you're also looking at that West Coast effect, having to come to the East Coast and play a 1 o'clock football game. We haven't talked about that. We saw what it did to the Rams in the first half of that game. They didn't wake up until the second half. So we'll see what happens in that regard. But a big game here for the Bills on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff, Orchard Park. The game's on Fox. I think we have Fox's second broadcast crew too. I was saying this game had the potential of being flexed because the national games this week, including the Fox national game, aren't anything to really write home about. I was personally shocked flex wise that they didn't flex that Giants or that, Eagles game out of primetime on Sunday. Yeah. Eagles Cowboys. Yeah.
Horrible.
I wish we could play the Cowboys again this year because They're saying they're going to start.
I wish you can play the Cowboys all season and get to the Super Bowl.
Every year.
The Cowboys are trash this year. And DiNucci looks like.
What a trashy team, man. I mean, honestly, the Cowboys are broken on all levels.
They are.
That hit on Andy Dalton, though, if that didn't happen, like, it might have. I mean, I'm not saying Andy Dalton is the savior of the Cowboys, but I.
Better than DiNucci.
He'd have been. You can't.
Yeah, but their defense is horrible. Like, their Cowboys can't stop a damn thing back there.
Pittsburgh's going to put 35 or 40 on these boys this week. National game for Fox is Chargers Raiders. I mean, it's a good game, but. I could see why they want to go with that game. It's the rookie against Vegas. So I see it, but I still think that our matchup's better, but it's fine. We'll be back next week. We're talking about some schedule changes. So we will let you guys know on Twitter. I think we're going to do after next week, some Monday. Hey. Oh, nice. There we go.
There it is.
I think we're going to do some Monday shows down the stretch here as we close out the season. Jesus. But we'll let you know about that, and we'll keep it posted. Any last words, guys, before we sign off?
Yeah, other than go build. Last water or some orange juice or something.
I'm like.
I'm up over there.
There we go.
Allergies are really, really bad right now.
That's what it is. Down this water too early too, so I have to get some more.
All right, hey, listen, hate to sound like a downer about the Bills, you know, we all hope big things for these boys. We know that they can play better than they've been playing. Hopefully this week they know who they're up against and they step up to the challenge, and we actually, hopefully Ashley and I are both wrong. Hopefully we come out on top of these boys.
Trust me, I would love to be wrong.
Agreed.
Oh, I know.
All right, guys, so we're going to leave you this week with the post-game locker room reaction after this win over the Pats, because we want to end this show on a bright note. We did a lot of bad mouth in the Bills this week, but we want to end on a bright note. The locker room was hype after this win, rightfully so. You don't beat the Pats at home for 9 years. It's a party. For Will and Ashley, I'm Fredo. We'll see you guys next week. Stay tuned on Twitter for the next show date and time. Thanks, guys.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
All right, baby. Hey, Zim. Zim. Hell of a win, baby. Hell of a win. Give yourself a round. Hey, you earned this thing, man, right? Yes, sir. This happened today. You earned it starting Monday. Yes, sir. Right? And that's a big thing we can take out this week. You earned it. Who knocked that ball out? Yeah! Yeah!
Yo, you don't want trouble, bro. Heat in my pocket, heart cold like Buffalo. I would just hustle one thing, but I need options. That work about to touch down, call it Steve Johnson. Catch me flying through the field like who want beef? It's 25, but I could get it for the 1-3. Certified fly guy, you on my time. I'm really real and you as real as a sci-fi. I'm trying to bring it home, baby, it's our time. They cheering for me like I'm crossed the 1-yard line. And I'm all about my bills like Stevie Johnson.
Black card boys, yes, BCB, we pop.
Get that dough straight across like I'm running streaks. My bills come in hundreds, my women come in threes. This hater ran up on your boy like he was furious. I lifted up my shirt like, why so serious?
I'm about my bills like Stevie Johnson. All my women throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my